This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is running out of money. Oh yeah, this is going to be a big one. But before we get started, I just want to touch base with you guys, and I want to say, hey, you guys are awesome. I mean, I'm not just saying that, okay? I've been talking to a lot of folks that listen to this show, and I am like stoked because so many of you guys are kicking butt out there. I mean, this is a tough market, and yet I know people that are buying and investing and making good decisions. They're just kicking it, okay? Coming up on Monday, okay, I've got one of the folks that actually listens to this show and has been investing. I don't want to give it away because it's going to be a great show, but on Monday, you got to listen, okay? There's an old dog here who started investing at 56, and he's doing really well. So I want you to listen to that because I think you'll be encouraged, and I think you'll find some good stuff there. So also, I want to remind you, we also have our contest. Yeah, the contest is just booming here. Keep sending those reviews in on iTunes, and I was going to read them on the air, but I started reading them, and I just got kind of embarrassed because people said some really nice stuff, and it feels really weird just to kind of go up there and say, hey, Anyway, so, they're saying really nice things, but I it's embarrassing. So anyway, I do want to remind you, we do have, for those that are looking at potentially doing your own podcast, I do have a free startup podcast that sponsor Mino Studios is offering. So if you want to put together like a sample of your podcast, he can help put it all together with bumpers and the whole nine yards. And he's donating that for free. So if you want to win that, that's really good. The other thing is, somebody asked me to do this. I'm going to throw it out there, but it's up to you guys. I don't coach. You know that. I don't offer anything. I'm not selling anything, hopefully, here. I try not to. I mean, I do have products that sponsors put up and so forth, but I'm not selling anything. But I am willing to donate here as a part of one of our prizes here, 4 hours of coaching. That's right, 4 hours of coaching. And that'll be to whoever wins this contest. Now, the contest's only going through the end of November. So everybody that submits a review on iTunes gets entered in the contest. So that's the newest prize, okay? Still not the grand prize, but still a prize that, hopefully somebody will want. Maybe my kids or something. Anyway, okay, so let's go on to our topic. Oh, I know I'm supposed to update on properties and stuff like that. Not anything real new here going on. We're still doing some rehabs, but I am, okay, and this is kind of an interesting thing, and I'll probably do a show on this, but I am expanding our Airbnb stuff, and we may actually be going into a different state to do that, so I will talk to you more about that later on. But let's jump into the topic, running out of money. Now, this is a big one, and I'll tell you why. For me, it is really important. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people on this show, over 250 episodes we've had, and interviewing a lot of our guests. And these are seasoned real estate investors. One of the biggest mistakes that they make is, and this is not everybody, but a lot of them that have said this, is not managing their money right. You know, going in and buying a project and not having the money set aside to do the rehabs and do the improvements to make that thing better. So they ran out of money and boom, they're stuck. They've got this project they wanted to do all this stuff with. They ran out of money because they just didn't plan right. There are a lot of other types of things too. You're on your way, you're buying your properties, you're doing all you can to kind of grow to where you need to be in order to be independent and to be able to be supported by your properties, and then you ran out of money. And well, you've used up all your equity and you've done all these other things, and what are you gonna do? You know, I can't buy any more properties. So those are a couple of different scenarios we're gonna talk about here in this episode. So it's gonna be a multi-episode podcast. So this is really part one, and I'm going to try to do as much of it as I can here as we get started, but we're going to continue it because there's a lot of information here, and hopefully a lot of it that's of value to you. So if you're planning on living off the rental income from your investment properties during your retirement years, which a lot of folks listening to this are planning on or already doing, the biggest fear I think for a lot of people is running out of money. And however you do it, you know, however you put together your portfolio and so forth, you know, the key thing is going to be buying right, managing your money right, and buying for the long run. Okay, those are the things that'll help ensure that your cash flow stream that you create never runs dry. In this episode, I'm going to discuss tactics and practical strategies you can employ to help prevent you from running out of money, both while you're building your portfolio, okay, your rental, your retirement rental portfolio, and once you're living off of that rental income. Because once you're living off of it, if you run out of money there, that could be a tough one. So in the past, you know, pensions were a primary source to address retirement, right? People retired in their 60s, and if they worked with a good company, they have a pension waiting for them, typically from their former employer, that would comfortably pay their bills until they died. The former employer withdrew from their big pension reserves. Most of those disappeared in 2008, but those pension reserves so that the retirees didn't need to worry about generating income for survival in their retirement years, right? And they get a little bit of Social Security with that, and they're fine. But outside of the military and some other government worker plans and some companies that, are maybe, still doing that, right? Still providing pensions, it's more or less a relic of the past. Today, most people must create their own pension if they hope to get through their retirement years. The primary exception, you know, is Social Security income, right? Which can begin as early as 62, or if you were born after 1960, 67. But most people are living longer than before, and Social Security income may not be around. In addition to that, it's such a small amount that it really doesn't cover living expenses in retirement, and or enough of your living expenses in retirement. And we're not even sure if it's going to be around for very long. So, you know, creating a personal reservoir of retirement savings, which some people do, and they just draw down on that, or what I think is better, a cash flowing retirement income stream, creating those things is still a necessity. And for those leaving full-time work early in life, like those in their 30s or 40s, I mean, they won't even know Social Security for the most part. So they're going to have to really think ahead and plan ahead. And they have actually more time than a lot of us old dogs here who are starting this real estate thing later in life. But a good real estate investor who does not have a pension or a big retirement reservoir knows that creating that retirement cash flow stream that will create enough constant income to last a lifetime is critical. A properly designed rental property strategy should produce enough income to last well past the life of the investor and hopefully be part of a legacy that you can one day hand down to your kids or family or loved ones. However, if the income stream you're creating gets hijacked along the way, and we're going to talk about what that means, okay, or worse yet, you know, you can no longer support yourself with what you thought would be your retirement income, that could be a disaster. So what can you do to make sure you don't run out of money? So I'm going to talk real fundamentally here, and I think it's important because I think for the most part, it starts before you do your first investment. Okay, your real estate investments, if purchased wisely, should create a continual and steady flowing stream of income for your lifetime. I've been saying that and I'm repeating it again, but if you're building your rental portfolio while you're still working, great. I mean, you have the option there. You can do a lot more things. But if you're already retired, okay, it might be a little bit more of a challenge. But in either case, you need to buy right, manage your money right, and buy for the long term. Repeating that again. Okay, buy right, manage your money right, and buy for the long term. These principles are key if you want to create a retirement income stream. So before you buy your first property, I have an episode 006. I've talked about it many times, called How to Get Started in Real Estate Investing. Four principles: get educated, find a mentor, write a plan, and then take action. Okay, and there's a lot of little subheadings underneath those, but those are the primary things. Get an education, know what you're doing as best you can from the great information that's out there. Most of it is free. And find a mentor. And a lot of people say, well, why do I have to do that? Well, a mentor is really key if you want to be successful. And I think if you don't want to make mistakes that are going to cost you a lot of money. The plan is important because it's an evolving thing. You start off with one strategy, you're changing it, you're adapting it. As you see what succeeds, what doesn't succeed, you adapt it, you revise it, and you end up with a plan that over time gets better and better and better, and so does your success in building your rental portfolio. And of course, taking action, and that's one of the hardest parts for a lot of people, is taking that first step. Next, you'll need to develop some real critical success skills. And these are the kinds of things you're going to want to learn especially as you're educating yourself. You want to know how to analyze a market. Market analysis is key. Finding a good place to invest, not some place that, you know, that's going down the tubes that you're going to end up losing money in, but one that's growing and has people coming into the area and jobs and all the right stuff. You need to know how to find a good deal, how to analyze and properly underwrite deals, how to negotiate with the sellers or brokers, understanding and acquiring the right funding. This is key, you know, knowing what are good loans and bad loans and which ones are going to, again, help you for the long term. And I keep stressing that. You're looking at for the long term. Understanding and conservatively utilizing leverage. And I emphasize conservatively here because leverage can be one of the best things in real estate investing, but it could also be a major cause of people's downfall as well, where you over leverage yourself. So you got to understand it and conservatively utilize it. Growing net operating income, that's what we all try to do. As we increase our net operating income, we increase the value of our properties. We increase the value of our properties as well as our own personal net worth. Generating and maintaining cash flow is key. Getting out there and building that cash flow, keeping it steady. Also, asset management is key. All of your assets, not only the tangible things, but the financial and the human aspect of those that are working on your team as well. That's part of that asset management process. And tax strategies. You know, taxes can be your worst enemy or your best friend if you know how best to work the benefits of real estate investing on the tax side. And then you also need to be prepared for multiple roles that you'll be taking on. Now, granted, some people may only have, maybe a small investment, maybe a couple houses or something, but you're going to have these various hats that you're going to wear at one point or another. That is, of course, you're an investor. You're just like somebody on the floor of Wall Street that, in the trading rooms or what have you, where you're looking at what's the best use of my money to get the best return. You're a deal maker. You're a business person. You're someone who's the CEO or president of your entity, whatever that may be, whether it's an LLC or a corporation. But you're overseeing a business. You're a leader. You're a landlord, a motivator, a visionary, and even more. But those are some of the hats that you wear as a real estate investor. Now, granted, you can always delegate some of those responsibilities. If you're not real good at maybe the analysis aspect and some of those things, you might want to give it to somebody who's a little bit more, left brain or what have you. But you can partner with people as well who have skills in areas that you may not be particularly strong, but you do have to understand the basics of investing and be able to understand it well enough to make sure that the people who are on your team and are working with you or for you are doing the right things and making the right decisions. As with any business, you need to be a good manager of your human resources as well as your financial resources. Okay, so let's take a look at how we get started here, because that's where a lot of it happens. In real estate investing, we all start differently. You know, some people just, you know, they've got money and they go out and they buy a property cash, boom. But there's a lot of different ways. In the beginning, it's always that first initial investment, sort of the hardest thing to do. But let's talk about it from that standpoint, because once you prepared yourself, it's some of the things that I've mentioned already, getting educated, getting a mentor, those foundations, and trying to acquire and hone the skills that are necessary, then you're ready to buy. And you've got to figure out, of course, where the funds coming from. When I started, I received an inheritance check, and I wasn't really sure what to do with those funds because I really didn't feel comfortable going in the stock market. There are too many signs of volatility there. And it was a time when I was thinking I need to diversify. So I started looking at all these different places to go and came across real estate investing. I schooled myself on it. I did my research. I found out about emerging markets, and I went ahead and picked a couple of markets, hopped on a plane. I was living in Haiti at the time at a Port-au-Prince, and flew to Atlanta and flew to Memphis and came back like 4 days later with three properties. So that's how I got started. But some of you may, you know, tap into your savings. Maybe you have an IRA or 401k you maybe take a loan against, or maybe you open up a self-directed IRA or 401k. You're going to operate your real estate investment portfolio from within that until you reach retirement age. Maybe you have a property that you have that you sold, and you might want to do a 1031 exchange to buy an investment property, or sell stocks or bonds, or maybe maybe you want to borrow, or you're going to take out a loan. I think one of the most popular things that people do is they'll borrow equity from their existing personal residence to get started. But you may also qualify for a VA loan, for example, and could get 100% loan to buy a property, or an FHA loan at 3%. So there's a lot of different options. There's down payments you can get for grants that are down payments, so you don't have to come up with the down payment money. There's hard money. There's you can get a 0% credit card, you know, that maybe it's got a $10,000 limit, and for 18 months you have 0% interest to pay on it. And that's enough to get you started so that you can refi that property, pay off that credit card, and get into your first rental. There's personal loans from relatives. And if you want to get creative, and we talk about this on this show quite a bit, is you can get a loan with seller financing and actually have the owner or the seller of a property carry back. So there's a lot of ways to get started. Wherever it comes from, as an investor and a business person, the amount that you start with is basically seed capital. It's called seed capital because, like a seed, when you apply the proper amount of water and nourishment, it can and should grow into something bigger. Your seed capital, if utilized in the right way, can also grow into something much, much bigger in real estate investing. So I'm going to give you an example here just as a starter, and we're going to use this as an example that I'll probably use throughout the other parts of this or the other part of this podcast. And let's say you are an investor, you've done your research, you're getting educated, you got a mentor, you got your plan together, you buy your first property, and you find this great deal. Okay, you find a $100,000 home, a fixer-upper, in a neighborhood where homes are selling roughly around $200,000. So this is great, but you've got some work to do to this to bring it up to the standards of the other homes in the area. So you decide, okay, I'm gonna fix it up. It's got a new roof. I don't have to do anything there. Most of it foundationally is pretty good, but you know it's gonna need some new countertops and nicer kitchen, nicer bathrooms, what have you. So you maybe put $20,000 into it. You fix it up, nice paint, nice landscaping, and you've got the home. Now it's like ready to market. It's a great property. It's probably close to $200,000 now. But and you could sell it. You could you put in $20,000. You had $100,000 to buy it. It's so you could make, if you sold it for $200,000, you make a quick $80,000. Maybe it takes you 3 months to do the rehab. And that's what flippers do all the time, right? But instead, you decide, you know, I'm going for the long term. And that's what we've been talking here, is going for the long term. You decide, I'm going to rent it out. So you shop around, you say, hey, $800 seems like a good, reasonable rental price. You know, you might be able to get more, but, let's start off at $800 a month and see if we can get some tenants, right? So since it is a rental, and even though you paid cash, you don't have that mortgage, which is great, but you do have other expenses. And you always have to be aware of this as a real estate investor. There are still out-of-pocket expenses, which you must include in your calculations, right? So things like property taxes, insurance, repairs, maintenance, a fund set aside for capital improvements, and an allowance for vacancies. So let's say that amounts to $300 per month. Now that might be a little low. I don't know. I'm just using that right now as a target amount. You could adjust it as you go, but roughly it leaves you with $500 a month net cash flow, or that'd be like $6,000 per year. And you know that because you bought in an emerging market, you also have the added benefit of values are going up 5% a year in that area. So you're going to have that also to add on to your factors here. So you basically put $120,000 into this investment. At the end of the year, it's now worth something close to $206,000 with the appreciation that's happening in the whole neighborhood and the whole marketplace. So, you've got this great return, but then you got to add to that too. You took 3 months to rehab it, but now you got 9 months of rental income that's come in. That's about $4,500 right there. So this $120,000 that you started with now has increased to $210,000. So we talk about that seed capital that's growing into something. It's grown quite a bit in just 1 year. But look at that after 10 years. If you just look at the appreciation alone on the house, it's going to be over 300,000 in 10 years. Not to mention the $60,000 in net cash flow, nor the other factors such as depreciation and other tax savings that you might have too. You're probably going to be earning roughly, 20% annually, just looking at the return. Now that's not bad for $100,000 of investment or $120,000 investment. So, if you're buying for cash flow, there's a lot of factors that you have to look at, but this is an example of a deal that really could happen and has happened with many people. But as we start to examine a little bit further here in our episode that we'll have next week, I'm going to talk about what happens when you do run out of money. Now you can leverage, like this property you look at. Wow, it's up to $206,000 or $300,000, whatever it may be. $206,000 after 1 year, I could borrow against that. I could take out a cash out refi and use that to buy another property, right? That's what's called leverage. But as I mentioned earlier, leverage can be your best friend or your worst enemy, depending on where you are in the investment process and where you are in the economy too. Because if interest rates change and if there's a recession, whoa, watch out if you're too heavily leveraged. So next week, we are going to continue with this, and we're going to talk more about what happens when you run out of money. Well, that's it for today. We're going to have part two next week. But remember, everything I presented here can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the episode on running out of money. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.